Hey, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode, we're going to talk about partnerships.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yet. We want you to do your best.
When to do partnerships, how to do partnerships as a startup, when not to do them, how to think about them. Let me not come out of the gate and tell people what my opinion on partnerships are, because I'm very curious, because we've never talked about this, what your take on this is. So, you know, I'm sure you get asked this quite a bit, but as a startup, how do you think about partnerships as a kind of a strategic tool for growth? When would you do it? Would you advise against it? What's kind of your general thoughts and philosophies on how and when and why startups should think of partnerships?
So back in the early days of venture capital, they used to have this thing called Kyoritsu, which comes from Japan. And it's like a Japanese term. And it would be where like an investor would invest in a bunch of companies. And Kyoritsu is the idea that all those companies kind of work together somehow, just because the investor invested in them, or that's like the intent of the, you know, the fact that it's under one investment arm. And then, you know, they'd partner and work together was the thesis. And that never really worked. So I'm a little tainted from learning about that from some friends that were around back then. This was many years ago when venture capital was like really nascent and things were harder to build. And, you know, it was nice to have like a hosting company, you know, as well as like a website creation company or whatever, you know, whatever combination some investor thought up. And it was a strategy. And maybe a couple people were successful with it, but I never really liked it. So I'm tainted first on partnerships because it was something that I think originally back in the day was very dictated by investors. And, you know, I have feelings about that. So that's one part of it. Another part of it would be like typically you have to focus on your own customer and your own business first. So if you're really early as a startup, let's say you have product market fit, you have hundreds of customers, you know, there could be some partnerships that could work for you, but most people don't pencil and paper them. They dream about them. They're saying, oh, if we could get HubSpot's customers, you know, we would be that much more successful because they have 50,000 customers or whatever. I don't know how many they have, but you know, that's like the sort of imaginary land of, oh, this is going to work out really well because they got a lot of customers or they got a lot of users or whatever. Usually it's about customers, users, things like that when people think of partnerships, especially in a B2B kind of SaaS-like context or enterprise or whatever. So yeah, that I think people go in dreaming and that tends to lead to a lot of, you know, failure because no company wants to just hand you their customers. And when you do a partnership like this, usually it's one-sided where it's like one party is bringing a lot of the benefit. So, you know, what you're really looking for is, you know, mutually beneficial relationships. And I would think of that first instead of going all the way to, oh, we're going to partner up. There's a partnership opportunity here. There's a ton of caveats on this, onto why you should partner and what industries it makes sense in. But on a very high level, these kind of startup partnerships tend not to work because it's more important to focus on getting your own customers yourself and learning how to do that. Than having to partner with companies to do that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This is interesting. We've never talked about this topic, but I am somewhat cynical when it comes to partnerships and very skeptical about them. So the thing that I've noticed in early stage startups is that partnerships is one of these kind of BS type of things they do that seem and feel like work, but aren't really moving, but isn't really doing anything. So what I observe a lot of times is early stage startups that are pre-product market fit, they haven't even gotten, you know, 100 customers themselves. And what they try to do is either they are dreaming up a solution to their core problem of not having customers by thinking somebody else could solve this for us. Let's do a partnership with company XYZ. They have all the customers we need. We don't have any customers. Wouldn't that be a great partnership? No, it wouldn't, right? Because A, usually that company, what is the benefit for them to give you access to all their customers? And also B, there's a reason why you don't have customers. And you need to build up the skill and the organizational ability to acquire customers. And if you need another company to do that for you and you completely rely on that as a source, more often than not, that's a real problem in the business, that there's something fundamentally wrong there that you're trying to avoid addressing by just trying to find a hack by partnering with somebody who knows how to find you customers versus learning to acquire customers yourself. That's one. The other thing that I see is even worse when a startup early stage, they don't have customers. They've built, usually they've overbuilt product that nobody wants. And then they meet another startup that has built some complementary technology also without any users or customers. And then these two startups come together and they go, well, you don't have users and customers and we don't have users and customers, but we've both built cool technology. Wouldn't it be great if we partner together? Since 0 + 0 obviously makes, you know, thousands of customers for both of us. And they then like waste even more time building integrations. I had a friend of mine do this recently where they spent all this time and I could not make them stop doing that or going down that path, which drove me crazy. They built this partnership with this other startup and they both were dreaming up, well, this is a great partnership because in the future, since we now have combined our technologies, customers will be able to use it this and this and the other way. And the other company went bankrupt 3 months after them spending, I don't know, maybe a whole month of investing in an integration with a technology based on a startup that had zero traction. It drives me crazy when I see shit like this. Like two companies that don't know what they're doing coming together to solve a problem nobody cares about. So I see a lot of that in early stage startups, like these partnerships that are flawed, I think, from the ground up. So I'm super, super skeptical. That's one thing. One other thing, and let me ask you a question first, and then I'll give my two cents on this, is, you know, let's say you're not that early stage, but at some point what happens oftentimes is when you got a little bit of traction as a startup, you start getting partnership offers oftentimes. You start getting emails from other companies and service providers and organizations that go, hey, we read about your company on blog XYZ, or hey, we've heard about you from some other customer you have, and we think there could be great potential for the two of us to partner up to do X, Y, and Z. So you get like all these offers for opportunities for partnerships. How do you think about that when you kind of get inbound interest on opportunities for partnerships? How do you think about that? How do you decide who to work with and how? And then I'll chime in on that as well. It's kind of a different angle. There's the outbound angle for early stage, but when you're later stage, you start getting more and more inbound interest for partnerships as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Fully agree with everything you're saying around this. Inbound. Okay, so one thing that SEO Moz popularized, and so did New Relic, is basically a bunch of B2B companies just partnering with each other and giving discounts to each other's user bases.
Yeah.
So there are examples out there of people doing really productive stuff with inbound. So at Crazy Egg, we would get hit up with the partnerships and we never did anything. And then we looked at like how SEO Moz was doing it and a bunch of other folks were doing it. We're like, oh, we can have partner pages, and it's just a big page with partners, and it's like perks or whatever. And it does create some amount of traction for both parties around just being able to do mutually beneficial like discounting, basically, and simple discounts. Like, you know, because you're a customer of Crazy Egg, you get like an extra 30 days of SEO Moz for free, for example. So that kind of stuff is like the scalable realization of some of this inbound stuff if you can make it scale in a simple way like that. And there's a bunch of us in SaaS out there that have done it. I don't know if you guys have done any of that, Stelly.
We've participated in a few cases where it made sense, but we've never made a campaign like this that was like managed by us.
Yeah, so we've been doing this for a while, and it works, and it's a channel, you know, but it's yet another marketing channel of like partnerships. So we treated it like a marketing channel, and that does work, and many others in SaaS have done that, and that does work. It gets you another increment, even if it accounts for 5 to 10% of your signups every month. It has that possibility, you know, depending on how many you have, and obviously lots of specifics. So I found that one scenario exciting when you deal with inbound. Outside of that, it's just about like, I like to look at everything that comes in, but I tend not to act on the majority of it is kind of my approach with inbound right now until there's a reason. Like if we have APIs and people are inbounding like apps or usage with our APIs or questions or whatever, those things might be important. So I think one thing I'll add is that APIs and working with two software companies or two businesses through APIs is definitely the new way of partnering. And I think that's the most effective way to partner these days.
I agree. I think that, having a company that approaches you to utilize your API or offer you to use their API when it makes sense, especially ideally when there's like a real customer needs, hey, we have a customer who's also a customer of yours. They want this and this integration. We thought, why don't we do this in a way that scales? How can we work with your API? How can we then announce this to people? Those type of scenarios typically are exciting because there's a real confirmed value case for it. And you have customers that want this and need this, or they have customers that want and need it. I love those. There are these, and I'm glad that you brought this up. I wouldn't have thought of it, but there are these kind of collective marketing initiatives where we all come together and we offer something really great in terms of our product, and we throw in some perks, and then all these companies promote that package together and kind of use their combined marketing prowess and powers to hopefully get everybody more leads.
That's been common, right? We've participated in many of those over the years, probably at least a dozen, and they tend to bring in more signups. They're very spotty. Yeah. Like they happen with an event like, oh, it's New Year's, so we're going to do a New Year's bundle. If you are not using these productivity products, let's wrap them all together, right? Yeah. And I bet at the end of this year, someone should do like a sales productivity, marketing productivity thing, you know? It's like kick off the new year with better sales by buying these five things that work together or whatever.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
So that makes total sense. I find that also to me, the question is always, will this serve our customers? If somebody approaches us, is this a company that built a tool that our customers are currently using or should be using, right? That's always a good question to ask. And if none of your customers are using their tool, and it's not a natural fit. Sometimes it's just really forced. The use case would be very, very forced. Then you need to protect your customers from it. No matter how big the other company is, if the use case is not natural and something that I think would serve our customers, then we have to say no. But there's like doing bundles together. There's webinars has been very popular lately when companies come together and they do joint webinars. So they promote this.
I'm glad you brought that one up. Like we grew Kissmetrics webinars with joint webinars, and it's all about like blasting to each other's lists and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it's they promote it to their
promoting and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you should talk about that. Are you guys doing that right now?
No, not very strategically. Yeah, so we've been doing it on and off in the past 3 years. We've done probably like a good amount, maybe 30 or 40 of these kind of joint webinars, but it's on and off. It's not been like super strategic. It's also not something that we do consistently.
Yeah, we scaled it to once a week, and this is always with other people, like other partners, and I have to say it was pretty effective.
Awesome, that's great to hear. Maybe something to put on a to-do list to do more mindfully and kind of focus more on it. But I think webinars can be a very easy first step to get to know each other, right? You do a few of these webinars, and if that works well, if you see that they really add to the table and bring audience in just like you do, if you see that the content was really high quality, if you see any kind of results on your end and their end, it didn't take that much to put the webinar together and promote it, but that can be the beginning of the relationship where you can then ask, okay, what else can we do? That's maybe a bit heavy on the investment on both ends because we've proven that working together works well, right? So I like, and this is maybe a general tip in terms of partnerships, when you think about partnering with somebody, no matter how sure you are that it's going to be awesome, think about the lightest, fastest, simplest way to get started and to get to know each other, right? Don't come up with a partnership that's going to take 6 months of work and it's going to be a big thing because obviously that's a much heavier investment and it has much bigger risk of not paying off and being really
costly. You're also testing. Yeah. If you're really slick, you can do co-webinars with a bunch of folks and just test the size of audience, the you know, how related the audiences are, because you often don't know if these partnerships are going to work out, and doing a small test like that, being deliberate about what you're looking for, would be pretty smart.
Yeah. So the other thing is, again, coming to the single part of me when it comes to partnerships is time wasters. So I find, you know, in the world, there's many people that will, you know, consciously and unconsciously waste your time. But especially in the startup world, and especially if you have a bit of traction and you're starting to get being known a little bit more, there's going to be a huge amount of people that will approach you with a proposition that seems cool to them, but it's actually really a massive waste of time for you and your business and your customers. So one thing that I've even written the template, and we have a blog post on Closeout. We can link it up in the episode notes here, where I have a template when most of the times if somebody approaches me and sends me an email about a partnership, we get a lot of emails like that from people that are either consultants or have larger agencies. And basically their pitch is, hey, Steli, we heard a lot of great things about Closeout. I have a lot of customers that I think would benefit from to hear about Closeout and become customers of yours. I think I could make a huge difference. Do you have a partnership program? How much commission would you pay me? And they have like a million different questions. Can we jump on our call next week to discuss this exciting proposition? And my template response to this, if I don't know them, which is most of the time, is always the same. It goes something like this. Just says, thank you. If you have so many people that you know that could be a customer of ours, why don't you just pick one? You tell them about us, you make them, you know, be aware of us. And if they buy, I'll pay you whatever you want. And after that, if they're happy, let's jump on a call, because then we are confirmed that we can work well together. Let's then jump on a call and figure out how to get all of your customers to become customer of ours and how to make this partnership work. But basically, I just tell them, prove it. Give me one customer that's happy and successful, and then I'll give you my time to talk about partnerships. And their response has always been the same. I've gotten this hundreds of times. People will respond, that sounds like a great plan. Wait for your first customer delivered by me next week, and then I never hear from them again. Right? And that's kind of my simple way to deal with this. Like, I want to be open to the opportunity of working with somebody, but I don't want to spend an hour on a phone call with you. I don't want to send you a contract. I don't want to do all this work without having